And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am Chip Patterson, and you have tuned in to the Week 7 Expert Picks. So therefore, as always, my pleasure to introduce Tom Fornelli, Jerry Hennon. Gentlemen, we have reconvened, and I think we should just all listen to you, because I had a pretty horrendous week last week on the Against the Spread picks, and you all did very well. So congratulations. You thoroughly gave me a beat 'em down.
I was okay. I'm falling behind in the goal to hit 60% for the season, though. It has to be picked up. I'm slipping each week.
Tom?
I'm just thrilled I haven't had a losing week yet, and I know one is coming.
Well, I slipped down to a very even 500, hopefully bouncing back so that I don't join Jeremy Fowler in the cellar as he's creeping up on me now. Who's our Jerry? Are you our leader, and then Dot and Tom one game behind?
That's correct. I'm at 67 and 47. Dodd and Tom are both at 66 and 48.
Well, after a week six that, while it was not short on drama, Georgia and Tennessee, we can thank them for that. I was so much more impressed with the level of intrigue, the things we'll learn, the matchups that we've got in the SEC this week. So we're going to go ahead and start there. Our SEC game of the week, really fantastic matchup. Number 17, Florida, with one of the best defensive units in the country, traveling to Death Valley to face LSU. This is our SEC game of the week on CBS. The way that we picked it against the spread, we have the Tigers at 7.5-point favorites. Guys, I don't know about y'all, but for me, really, really tough. There's a lot of things to like about both angles of the pick. I like LSU to win. But for me, I think Florida mucks this up. Let's go ahead and start with you, Jerry. What do you think is going to be Florida's key if they want to be able to possibly pull the upset?
Well, they got to be able to run the ball on LSU. Mississippi State had a stunning amount of success for about the first 35 or 40 minutes last week against LSU, kind of petered out at the end of that game. But for, you know, those first two quarters, they were moving the ball with absolutely stunning regularity. And Florida put 30 points up on Arkansas without even running the ball very well. I think they averaged around 3 yards a carry, even as Tyler Murphy was lighting up the Razorbacks. I think he went 16 for 22, averaged almost 11 yards an attempt, which, you know, is eye-popping numbers for a Florida quarterback at this stage. You know, a lot of that is down to Solomon Patton, who's really kind of emerged as their go-to guy as a receiver. And, you know, if Florida can run the ball, you know, Murphy's going to have some opportunities to make plays, and he's shown the past couple of weeks that he can make those plays. I absolutely think Florida is capable of pulling this upset.
Florida's red zone offense markedly improved. Started the season 4 for 12 getting touchdowns. That's up to 7 and 11 in the last three games. Just only scoring at all, touchdown or field goals, half of the time at the beginning of the season. And in 11 red zone trips in the last three games, they've come away with a score 10 times. Tom, what's your angle in this game? By the way, everyone has Florida covering, except for Bruce, who's got the Tigers going. How confident do you feel about the Gators to possibly win this game? Or are you like me, if you're going to give me 7.5, I'm going to take a close game?
I agree with Jerry. I think Florida does have a very legit chance to win this game, although I did pick LSU to win straight up. To me, this game is just going to be a classic kind of older schoolish SEC lower scoring game. I just feel like Florida's defense is strong enough that it will be able to slow down the LSU offense. And I'm also not entirely convinced that Florida's offense will be able to really expose the areas of LSU's defense that I think are its biggest weaknesses. Although, as Jerry pointed out, the run defense wasn't very good against Mississippi State last week. And they're giving up 4.25 yards a carry, which isn't terrible, but for LSU, it's not exactly up to the standard. So I just feel like these are two teams. It's going to be kind of like last year's game, I think, with a bit more points, but I still think it'll be a little ugly, and I still think it'll be very close. So I'm going to take the 7.5.
Yeah, very, very good game. You guys agree this is a much better SEC slate this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But Zach Mettenberger, one of three quarterbacks in the SEC. Jerry mentioned 11 yards an attempt, an eye-popping number. Only three quarterbacks in the conference are averaging over 10 yards per attempt on the season. It is Mettenberger, Manziel, and Murray. Very impressive group.
Well, those are like 10 yards an attempt is a big, big number.
Yeah.
You know, if you pull that off for an entire season, you're in a fairly elite stratosphere. So the fact that the SEC has three of those quarterbacks at this stage tells you something about the state of quarterbacking in the SEC this season.
We are going to go to an SEC East game that suddenly has become very, very interesting and very important as number 25 Missouri comes into Athens to face number 7 Georgia. Georgia doubtful that they'll get Todd Gurley back from an ankle injury. Keith Marshall, Justin Scott Wesley, and Bennett all out. Though Bennett's going to come back, right, Jerry? Then you just wrote that.
I wrote about that today. He had arthroscopic surgery for a torn meniscus and is expected back sometime this season. It's not going to be this week, though. Probably not going to be next week. It's going to be probably around a month, but. You know, I think there's an outside shot. He comes back for the cocktail party, which is probably Georgia's next, like, really titanic game.
Missouri not only 5-0 straight up, but 5-0 against the spread, while Georgia is 1-3-1 with their one push being the 3-point victory against LSU. So Missouri has been beating the odds makers. They've been beating all their opponents. A lot of it has to do with competition, but we're talking about a team that can put up points. They've got this sort of four-man attack with Russell Hansborough, Henry Josie, and Marcus Murphy all carrying the rock. James Franklin kind of back to a dual threat. This is the last time that James Franklin was balling like this, Tom. You were all over that Missouri Big 12 sort of scene. Do you think that Missouri is going to be able to come in here? Do you have them covering the spread, or could they even pull an upset against the wounded Bulldogs?
Yeah, I still have Georgia winning outright, but I took Missouri to cover the spread because, like you mentioned, the offense has been what's carried Missouri to this 5-0 start so far this season. And it's an offense that I think with James Franklin healthy and with Darrile Green Beckham and a couple other weapons that they have, they'll be able to expose Georgia's weaknesses on defense that have been there all season long. But the biggest difference in this game is what you mentioned, is the fact that everybody on the Georgia offense, I mean, everybody is hurt.
Right.
I think Herschel Walker sprained his ankle walking around the house this week. I think that's how bad the Georgia injury situation. There's no any other week of the game, or, you know, I would pick Georgia to cover a 9.5 spread against Missouri at home pretty easily. But with all these injuries, I think Missouri has to cover, just because I think they'll be able to put up enough points to keep up with a slowed down Georgia offense that I think isn't going to be as high powered as we're used to seeing. But I wouldn't be shocked if Missouri pulled off the upset either. And I don't think anybody would truly be shocked if that happened.
One person that might be shocked is Jerry Hinnan, because he's got the Dogs covering 9.5. So quickly, what do you like about the Dogs?
The only one. It's just a bit of a hunch that Georgia's issues are a little bit overplayed. This is still a team that beat LSU, that came within, you know, basically a botched field goal snap of beating Clemson on the road. And, you know, yes, they've lost Todd Gurley. Yes, they've lost Malcolm Mitchell. Yes, they've lost Justin Scott Wesley. But, you know, their receiving core, they've still got Chris Conley, who's actually their leading receiver for the season. They still got Rantavious Wooten, who came up with the huge game-saving touchdown catch there against Tennessee. You know, they've still got Arthur Lynch at tight end. Aaron Murray is not, in fact, hurt. He is still the quarterback. He is still fantastic. You know, the issue for Georgia has been special teams. That what really turned that Tennessee game wasn't anything with the offense or the defense. It was that freaking blocked punt, you know, which I think was the third special team score allowed by Georgia in the span of 2 weeks. In the span of 3 weeks, if you go back to the North Texas game where they allowed two of them. You know, if Rick can get those special teams in line, which, you know, maybe it's a little bit late for that, but they're not going to give up one of those scores every single week. I think this is a team that's angry about the way they played at Tennessee, that knows they kind of got away with one there. I think they're due to come out at home, play a really solid game. And I also think Missouri's a very good team. But I also think they're maybe due to backslide just a little bit, maybe aren't quite as good as they looked last week against Vanderbilt. If you start the season 5-0 against the spread, it's tough to keep that kind of a roll going. So, you know, they're going to slip up at some point, and I think this is the week it happens.
Missouri, one of the fastest starting teams in the country, have been just jumping out on opponents. I would be fearful if I'm a Bulldog of maybe any type of hangover from the exhausting Tennessee game and all of a sudden find yourself in a hole. South Carolina at Arkansas. The Hogs are 6.5-point favorites after a rough trip to the swamp. Last time that they were at home, they did do a good job of testing A&M. South Carolina, Connor Shaw, absolutely no problem. He comes out, he plays last week. He's 17 of 20 passing. He has a rushing touchdown, runs for about 50 yards. Seems to be healthy, not really any concern there. If you're South Carolina, you're concerned that you've only lost 5 games in the last 31, but 4 of them have been on the road, and the Gamecocks only have 2 wins in the last 10 tries at Arkansas. Jerry, you also picked the Arkansas upset, so give me what you got.
I don't like the way the South Carolina team is playing right now. Both against Vandy and Kentucky, they got out to a big lead and just kind of put the offense in neutral and, watched as, Vandy and Kentucky clearly are teams. I don't think the way Vandy's playing right now, they are not teams that are in Arkansas's class necessarily. And those games were in Columbia, where Connor Shaw has been a much, much different quarterback than he's been on the road. South Carolina was, fell into a hole against UCF, had to force a few turnovers to really kind of hang on in that game. Arkansas is, I think, a better team than UCF, even though, they lost in the swamp last week. That was a bad matchup for them, where the Gators could kind of clamp down on Arkansas's running game and force Brandon Allen to throw. He ended up throwing the ball 41 times, despite pretty decent averages for both Alex Collins and Jonathan Williams, which sort of surprised me. I would have expected Brett Bielema to stick with the run a little bit more than he did, and I think he makes that adjustment this week. I don't think the Gamecocks, just at this point, I don't think they're playing well enough to expect them to go on the road and win a game against an opponent in Arkansas that, again, is going to be able to run the ball, control the clock, and I think at home come away with a big win.
Tom, you got the Cox. What do you like?
Of all the games we picked this week, this was the one that I had the toughest decision making, just because there's so much negative things going on around South Carolina right now that I had a hard time. I ended up taking them in the end just because I really feel that overall they're the better team, even with some of the stuff that's been going on, like with Clowney and just all that kind of crap that's going on with the Gamecocks right now.
So, rabble.
I feel like that Clowney will – no, I think he's going to inspire the team with his injury. Yeah. And they're going to – I picked South Carolina because I had to pick somebody, and I just think they're the better team. That's really all it came down to. I have no clue which way this game's going to go.
Really, really curious to get y'all's opinion on the Red River rivalry. This is a game that Oklahoma, from everything we've seen, should absolutely win. I think Texas being able to get a victory would be a huge shock. I just don't know the way this is going to play out, because I could see Oklahoma winning by 24, or I could see Oklahoma just having to eke out a victory once again, sort of like the TCU or the West Virginia game, where the offense never really is able to take advantage of some really good opportunities provided by the defense. Tom, starting with you, what's your read on this game, and what are some of the facts that mattered in you making your expert selection?
I took Oklahoma to cover. I don't think it's going to be the kind of blowout we've come to see in this game the last few years, where Oklahoma's going to absolutely embarrass the Longhorns. It's just, I think even with the struggles last week on offense, that was, first of all, it was a good TCU defense that they were facing. So I guess there's some excuse for it there. And I also just think there might have been a letdown coming off the road trip to Notre Dame, just a natural letdown there. So I think, Oklahoma overall is still a very good running team with Bell, Damian Williams. And Texas, as we know, is not a very good team when it comes to stopping the run. So although I think the Longhorns are going to be able to at least compete longer in this game, I think by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, particularly without having David Ash available, I think the Sooners are just going to pull away as the game goes on.
Jerry, Texas sort of had that bewildering moment in the second half against Iowa State, where it seemed as though everything was working on the ground, yet Texas was continuing to try and move the ball through the air.
Bewildering is a good word for it.
I don't understand. It seems like this is something where Texas would be able to possibly show up, lean on that run game. And let me bounce this theory off of you. I wondered if throwing the whole second half was just because they don't care about the Iowa State game and they were saving all their good option running plays for Oklahoma. They just didn't want to put them on tape.
No. Mack Brown's job was on the line there in Ames. He wasn't – I mean, you could argue it's going to be on the line every week until the end of the season, but – I'm sorry, Chip. It's a fun theory.
Yeah.
You know, the evil genius kind of approach, but I'm not buying it. I think Major Applewhite and, you know, the rest of the Longhorn Brain Trust was just kind of outsmarting themselves there. I don't have any problem calling this game for Oklahoma minus the 13.5. You know, the Sooners, I think, you know, that defense looked very good against TCU last week, and now they get to tee off on Case McCoy on that side of the ball. On the other side, we know the Texas defense has struggled all season. We're kind of lucky to hold Iowa State to only 30 points, I think. I mean, we're talking about a Texas team that really should have lost last week, you know, for multiple reasons, you know, up there in Ames. And Iowa State's not a particularly good team to begin with. Oklahoma did play much more sloppy on offense than I expected last week. But, you know, we've seen Blake Bell, you know, and Trevor Knight combine to do some very good things on the road against a much better defense at Notre Dame. You know, just completely blew up Tulsa a few weeks back. I think they get it going again against this Texas defense, and I do not think this game is close.
Okay, well, do you think that Baylor runs away with it against Kansas State? There's, I mean, another Big 12 game where I think Baylor absolutely is a better team. Even, you know, they sort of exchanged upsets with Baylor getting knocked off by Kansas State in 2011. Baylor returns the favor in 2012, last year knocking off Colin Klein and an undefeated Kansas State team right in November. Do you think that Baylor runs away with this one the way that Oklahoma does against Texas?
I do. The Bears have been outrageous. If you follow Tom and myself on Twitter, you know that we made a bet this week that there is now a six-pack riding on Baylor for the rest of the season. I think they go undefeated. I've not been impressed with the Big 12 as a whole. They get Oklahoma, which is their one big hurdle for me anyway, at home, and which is a place where Art Briles has been absolutely ridiculous. I think he's 14-2 the last three seasons against the spread at home. You know, I don't see the Bears losing, and I certainly don't see them losing this week. You know, Bill Snyder is a wizard, and that scares me a little bit, but this Baylor offense hasn't even tried. You know, they haven't played four quarters yet. The most they've played is about 2.5. Bryce Petty played one series of the second half against West Virginia, and they still scored 73 points. If Petty plays the entire game, and honestly on the road against a team that's going to control the clock a little bit in K-State, he's going to. I don't see any way they score fewer than 50 to 55 points. And Baylor's defense, you know, people want to slag off their level of competition or whatever. You know, they're still eighth in the country in yards allowed per play. You know, just kind of gave up some of those points against West Virginia in garbage time after Baylor turnovers. I don't see any way K-State scores more than about, you know, 28 or so. You know, this to me is another four-touchdown Bears victory.
Tom, do you see anything else?
I'm going to win that bet with Jerry, but it won't be because of anything that happens this week. No, I think Baylor's going to run away from the Wildcats just because – from what I've seen of Kansas State this year, I don't think they have enough on defense to slow down this offense, and I know they don't have enough on offense to keep up with it.
What's you and I were talking about Penn State on the Rewind, and I'm starting to follow you. I watched the replay of that game on Big Ten Network this week. I just don't think Penn State's very good, Tom.
Nope.
And I really see Michigan, a team that sort of finally caught rhythm after about a 2.5 game funk after halftime against Minnesota. I mean, Wolverines are going to run away with this one in Happy Valley, right?
I don't know if they'll run away with it, but I agree. Penn State, if you look at them this year, their three wins have been against, you know, Syracuse, Eastern Michigan, and Kent State. And Syracuse is the most respectable win of those three. You know, they got the true freshman quarterback, and you're kind of riding a roller coaster when that happens. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows, and I feel like against a team like Michigan, it's probably going to be a low, even if it's at home. I think the only way Penn State pulls this one off is if Michigan beats itself, you know, self implodes with turnovers, which we all know is Michigan
possible.
Is fully, yeah, they're fully capable of doing it. Although they looked really good last week, I feel like against Minnesota, they got some kinks worked out with their bye week before that. They were a little slow out of the gate, but once they got going in the second half, it started to look like the Michigan team we were all expecting. And I think going on the road playing in Happy Valley, I think they're going to be a focused team this weekend. I just think Michigan's going to handle this one, yes.
Penn State coming off first ever loss to Indiana. Jerry, anything particular that stands out to you about this game before we knock out Northwestern Wisconsin?
No. This, for me, was one of the tougher ones to call this week. I don't trust Devin Gardner and Michigan any further than I can throw them, which obviously isn't very far.
Do you trust him further than Devin Gardner could throw?
No, I don't. I trust him much less than that. Going on the road against Penn State, you know, obviously their offense has issues, but their defense is still very solid. You mentioned, you know, the Kent State, that was a shutout. Eastern Michigan, I think they allowed 7 points. And, you know, they kind of got behind the eight ball against Indiana, and things kind of snowballed. But playing at home in what you know is going to be a ridiculous crowd, I think they could make life very difficult for Devin Gardner. So, you know, I picked Michigan just because I do think they're going to pull it out in the end, and the spread is so small, it's only 3.5 points. But I expect this to be a competitive game, and it won't shock me if Penn State covers or even wins.
One of the few games on the entire top 25 expert picks at CBSSports.com, which is split 3-3. I think there's only a couple, but one of them is Northwestern and Wisconsin. So, beginning with you, Jerry, and then you, Tom, I want to hear what you like about Northwestern covering that 10.5, and even more specifically, how you think this game is going to play out, because really huge for Wisconsin after the bye week, after the loss to Ohio State. Northwestern needs a bounce back just as bad after the close loss to Ohio State a week ago. You know, both of these teams, Northwestern is still a little bit in division contention. Wisconsin probably not. Though, Jerry Palm argued this week, Wisconsin, he thinks, second best team in the Big Ten. Starting with you, Jerry, how do you see this Big Ten matchup playing out?
I think it's going to be a competitive game. Northwestern basically, over the past two seasons, has always played competitive games against BCS level competition, either in the Big Ten or non-conference. The last two seasons now, Northwestern is 10-2 against the spread, and one of those losses was against Ohio State last week, which really should have been a cover. Everybody, I think, who watched that game knows that Northwestern deserved to cover the 5.5 or the 6.5 or whatever. So for me, 10.5 is a big, big number. I was really expecting that to be in the sort of, you know, maybe 7, 7.5 point range. You know, getting that little hook on the end of the 10 points, I really think that I was impressed with the Wildcats last week. This is a very, very good team, extremely well coached. You know, so is Wisconsin, but even up in Camp Randall, this just strikes me as a game that's going to come down to the last possession, and I think Northwestern really ought to be able to keep this in single digits.
Tom?
I'm leaning I picked Northwestern to cover because, like another stat to go along with what Jerry said, since 2008, Northwestern is 13-4 against the spread as a road underdog.
There you go.
Which is, you know, that's a pretty nice trend. And meanwhile, while Wisconsin's 3-0 at home against the spread this year, those three games were UMass, Tennessee Tech, and Purdue. So I don't know how much weight you can put into that. I do think this will be a close game because, like Jerry says, Northwestern just plays a lot of close games. And the problem has always been they can't finish. And I don't know if they're going to figure that out this week on the road against Wisconsin, but I do think they're going to hang around. But what terrifies me is seeing the way that Ohio State ran the ball against Northwestern last week, particularly Carlos Hyde, who had the 168 yards, 3 touchdowns. But Ohio State had 250 yards total. I am concerned about the Northwestern run defense holding up against the Wisconsin rushing offense over the course of 60 minutes. I think that could prove to be problematic. But at the end of the day, I feel like the karma for that backdoor cover last week is going to flip around, and Northwestern will get the cover no matter what this week.
Fair or unfair, this game is a judgment from an against the spread angle that I am going to make on Gary Anderson's Wisconsin program, because under Brett Bielema, the non-Russell Wilson years, they were a very middling team against the spread in Camp Randall. Almost sort of, you know, makes me think that, some of those home games, you just sort of know that you're going to win, maybe loaf a little bit, and especially at 10.5, and after the loss to Ohio State, it would be an indictment of sort of the Gary Anderson tenure, fair or unfair, if they come out there and just, like Tom said, what he's fearing, just run the ball right at Northwestern for 60 minutes. So I could be wrong in my pick, but I'm fascinated in the game.
Well, one of us went 7-14 last week, and the other one didn't.
That was me. All right, let's move on to Oregon and Washington. No faking injuries, no faking picks. We got Jerry going with the Ducks. I am not comfortable with my Washington pick. I think this game could go lots of different ways. If I was placing my my own, you know, Patterson pennies on sports, I would not touch this game with a 10-foot pole. So I'm going to start with you, Jerry, because you and Dennis are in the minority. What do you like about Oregon?
Well, you've got me mistaken for Mr. Fernelli there.
Who's the gracious one who took the Ducks. Well, yeah, then you, Mr. Fernelli.
I am riding or dying with Oregon until they give me a reason or not to. As I said last week, you know, I gave the trends of Oregon's favor against the spread. Nothing has changed this week. Since 2011, Oregon has been a road favorite 9 times. They're 9-0 against the spread in those games. They're also 26-11-2 against the spread against Pac-12 competition since Chip Kelly originally took over the program in 2009. And while I think Washington is a very good team, and I think Washington outplayed Stanford last week and probably should have won if not for a couple long kick returns, I can't go against those trends. I just can't.
I'm sorry, Jerry, for mistaking.
It's quite all right.
But I think Washington's a very good team. I would not be surprised if Oregon covers this spread, but I just had trouble making that pick, despite what Tom said, which is very true. What are your thoughts on the Huskies?
My thoughts are that they have been very, very good since Justin Wilcox arrived at home. Since Wilcox became their defense coordinator at the start of 2012 season, they're 8-1 against the spread at home. That defense has been so nasty up in Seattle. We saw them hold Arizona, which is a very good offensive team, to 13 points a couple of weeks ago. I think this to me feels like the game that Oregon has played against Stanford, you know, the last couple of seasons, where the incredible offense just suddenly kind of grinds to a halt against a really solid defense. You know, again, Washington held Stanford under 300 yards last week, outgained the Cardinal by somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 in general. I still think Washington's undervalued. I think, you know, their yardage numbers have been just through the roof. They've been superior vastly to every team they've played this season, Stanford included. If it wasn't for Ty Montgomery's kick returns, you know, the Huskies definitely would have won that game on the road last week. You know, I absolutely hear what Tom is saying. I don't think this is a game I would feel comfortable putting a large sum of money on. And 14.5, though, to me is just too much, even for Oregon going on the road against the Huskies team that plays this well at home. I think Oregon wins the game, but I think it's going to be definitely competitive.
All right, coming down the home stretch, we got our Thursday night game, Rutgers at Louisville. Louisville, number 8 in the country, favored by 17.5. I think the Cardinals have to win this game big because that's really their only option based on the schedule. And, you know, they've done a pretty good job of going out and at least executing. It would not surprise me if Rutgers, though, a team that is well-coached, knows Louisville well. I mean, both these two teams, their games have been very, very close in recent years. They're used to playing on a short week, or at least the odd schedule, as they haven't played on a Saturday the last 3 times against each other. Quickly, Tom, what do you like about Rutgers to cover 17.5?
Like you mentioned, I think this is a good team. I think it's very well coached, and just the whole short week. We've mentioned here numerous times, I think the underdogs are generally safer plays on short weeks like this. And it's just, you know, I know it's not the Big East anymore, but it's so very Big East of these two teams for them in their final games together as conference mates to play a surprising matchup that I wouldn't be shocked if Rutgers pulls off the upset. I'm not picking it, but I wouldn't be shocked if it happens.
Jerry?
I'm totally with Tom. I'm kind of stunned that the line is this big. I was really expecting it to be, you know, maybe just under 10 points, somewhere in the 8.5, 9.5 range. Rutgers has been an outstanding team over the past 10 years, 23-11-1 as a road underdog. The last two seasons, they're 6-2 after covering against Fresno State to start this season. So far this season, underdogs on ESPN's Big Thursday Night Showcase are 4-1, and that one was North Carolina only failing to cover when they were stopped at the one-yard line against South Carolina at the end of that game. I am flummoxed. This would be my top 25 lock of the week here with Rutgers. I don't see a big difference in either talent or coaching between these teams. And, you know, Louisville proved me wrong to open the season. I really thought Ohio would give them a much better game, and they kind of blew me away. But to me, it says something that that line against Ohio was somewhere in like 20.5 point range, and now Rutgers is coming in as only a 17.5 point underdog. It's actually been bet up to 19 in Vegas, which, again, just I'm kind of scratching my head on this one. I really, really like Rutgers to cover, and like Tom, it won't shock me if they pull the upset.
I think there is a talent gap, and I think the big gap that will be exposed in this one is experience, as Rutgers' defense just sort of still replacing a lot of pieces from that phenomenal unit that sort of helped them in 2011-2012. But, again, Thursday night games, weird stuff happens. Let's see. Number one, Alabama traveling to play Kentucky. Kentucky 27.5. Point dogs, and we all like the Tide, and the senior riders all like the Wildcats. Quickly, Jerry, what you think?
Well, if I remember correctly, the senior riders really liked the Wildcats against Florida a couple of weeks too, and that didn't work out. Alabama is an outstanding team on the road in the SEC. You know, they've showed against Ole Miss a couple of weeks ago their defense can still kind of turn it on against the kind of spread that Kentucky's going to throw at them. I don't see the Wildcats being able to keep this remotely competitive. And, you know, the Tide are also coming off this Georgia State scrimmage. You know, typically, as we saw with, like, Colorado State a few weeks back, when they come off of one of these kinds of off weeks where they just kind of, you know, go through the motions against one of these hapless, you know, paycheck type opponents, they usually come back the following week and play a really good game. I'm expecting that to happen again, and I think they roll by, you know, 30 plus.
Tom, what do you like about the Tide?
When it comes to picking them against the spread, I'm just so much more comfortable taking Alabama to cover a big spread on the road against a conference opponent than I'll ever be with them at home against those inferior teams. And I think this is, like Jerry said, this to me just has the feeling of an old-fashioned Alabama beatdown.
Yeah. All right. Well, one pick each. First, you, Tom. What's a game that we haven't mentioned that you feel really good about or have some good stats for?
The two games that I feel really – actually, there's three games that I've considered. one, I really like Nebraska minus 14 against Purdue just because I think Purdue is absolutely horrible, and I think betting against them every week will do a lot for your checking account. Two, I like Arizona plus 5.5 against USC because even though USC had the bye week, there's still the whole coaching change from Kevin's gone to Ed Orgeron. And I just feel like, you know, you can't go through that. And even with the week off, I feel like there's going to be a bit of a, you know, lull with the Trojans, because when you're as a college kid and you're playing for a team and you know that your coach that's coaching you right now isn't going to be there next year, and it's just I have a feeling Arizona's going to win that game. I don't think USC's problems were solved when Lane Kiffin was fired. And then another game I'm taking is Boise State minus 7 on the road against Utah State because Chucky Keaton is not playing, and after watching Utah State against BYU last week, once Chucky Keaton went out, that Utah State team looked a lot different and not in a good way.
Think how exciting it's still a very intriguing game, still very important for the Mountain West title, particularly as they now have division titles and tiebreakers and a Mountain West title game at the end of the season. But, man, like last year, or maybe even if Chucky Keaton was healthy, this game is intriguing as can be. But
yeah.
Sadly,
without
not.
Chucky, it's not going to be fun.
What about you, Jerry? Any games we haven't mentioned yet that you really like?
I really like Texas State -7 against ULM. Colton Browning is out for the year. ULM has looked horrible since he's left. They got pounded by Western Kentucky at home. Texas State's been very good under Dennis Franchione at home. You know, knocked off a very good Wyoming team a couple of weeks ago. I really like them to win that game by definitely more than 7 points.
Nice. Well, remember, if you are not subscribed to the Ion College Football Podcast, then you are getting your podcasts late.
Loser.
The subscriber gets them first as we post them up to iTunes, and then they normally go either a couple hours or the next day up on CBSSports.com. So make sure you do that so you can get all of this wonderful information before anyone else. For Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnan, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.